Our subject tonight is kind of providential, although I kind of, Tom Dudley's fairly predictable. But it was really good what he did tonight. Our subject tonight is singing hymns. So that's where we are. And we'll begin I'll write myself a note here, right here. At this point, all right, we'll begin with just Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, just to justify what I'm doing tonight. Paul the Apostle tells the Ephesians, don't get drunk with wine, it's a waste. Or that's dissipation, which is a word I generally don't use. But it means a waste. And he counters that. He says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And so our being filled with the Spirit expresses, one of the ways that expresses us, it expresses, is expressed in us, it's in all different ways, but one of the ways, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, it's a lot of fun to read commentaries. I enjoy it. I often tell you about that, and it's amazing how people try to divide up what these words mean. What did Paul mean by psalm or hymn or spiritual song? What are the differences there? And people make strong, firm statements about it, and I have figured the more you know about stuff, the more generally you ought to say you don't know. Because some of these guys really know about stuff, but that's the ones that really know kind of wave you off. Don't be dogmatic what these distinct words mean. But we all know one thing. They mean singing. When it says there, making melody in your hearts, Paul says, pluck the strings of your heart. Isn't that good? It's something that we do inside of us, in our spirit. So that's the justification for this little bit, and we'll probably end early. But that's just the way it'll turn out. So the subject is singing hymns. You and I need someone to help us sing. Well, we have the whole book of Psalms, and it's full of wonderful words. And when we read them, we say, yes, that's just what I need. That's what I need to say to God. And the book of Psalms, if you're going to use it, one of the best ways to do it is to read it to God. Or read it to one another. Did you know generally the folks in America and really all the Western world would wake up in the mornings and gather the family around them and read the Bible, and then the wife would lead everybody in singing? What a way to start the day. We are too busy for that. But that's generally how folks used to start their day. The very first book printed in the United States of America was a Psalter. That's a book like this. I have a copy of one here. It's very Scottish, which means stiff and hard to follow. It's a Psalter, and it sets all the Psalms, all the complete Psalms, in meter, so the rhythm is right. But it really mixes things up, so you really got to concentrate to follow the thought. But it's a Psalter, and the first book in America ever published was a book just like this. And you'll notice there's no songs in it. There's no music. In the 1800s, people started, before the middle of the 1800s, people used, they had psalm books. That's a book that has the psalms, the hymns, a hymn book, I mean. They had hymn books, and the hymn books had the words to the hymns, but no music. And hymn books in those days were really devotional books. People carried them with them. Now, if you carry out our hymnal here, someone's going to chase you down and say, "Stop thief." And probably not. But the book becomes too big and unwieldy. And people just don't carry hymnals around with them. Often they don't. But the good old hymn book just had the words. I have a hymn book from England at home sitting in my bookcase. I never read it, but I've got it. And then I have this wonderful book, and we're kind of doing show and tells. Here's the Psalter from Scotland by a guy named, he did the work by name a guy named John Brown. That sounds, he's stiff, brother. Anyways, the Psalter. And then I have this wonderful book that I, by the way, looked on the internet this afternoon before I came here. It's called A Christian Book of Mystical Verse. Does anybody have that? The Touches do, so you can borrow theirs. Kim has one. You can borrow hers. But it's not an expensive little book. It is essentially a hymn book. Not a hymnal, but a hymn book. It only has words in it. And it so helps to come to these words, just like we sang a while ago. And it was so good you did that. It so helps when someone that's been there and that has the gift can say it for you. And when you read it, you say, yeah, that's just what I want to say. I'm going to go back a little bit I'm going to go to a Hollywood movie at this point. And really, it's not a Hollywood movie. It's a foreign movie. It's a book. It's a movie called Il Postino. Has anybody seen that movie? Only you and I, Leah Beth. How about you, Anna? Have you seen it? It's about an old Italian fellow that lived on an island out in the Mediterranean. He was poor as a church mouse. I mean, he barely had clothes to wear. I mean, they were poor. And on that Italian island, a poet called Neruda. What was his name, Spicy? Pablo Neruda. He's a famous Chilean poet, a real Chilean poet. Moved to their island, and he kept getting mail. And there wasn't anybody on the island to take it out the several miles down the road to that poet who lived out by the ocean there. So they hired this poor, poor fellow to be the postman, and the only letters he ever delivered was this fellow named Pablo Neruda. I'm telling you a story for a reason. Often I forget to tell you what I tell a story, but anyway, did that today. But this postman would come up on his bicycle and deliver a letter to the poet. And it'd be 3 or 4 days, and he'd come up on his bicycle and deliver another letter. But finally they begin to talk, and the poet began to tell the postman how useful poetry was. It's a wonderful film. I think I could recommend it. You'll have to read it because it has subtitles, doesn't it? Leah Beth always shared it with her students, which means it's okay. At one point, the postman kind of falls in love with a young girl on the island, and he doesn't know what to do, so he takes some of the poet's poetry and quotes it to her and uses it to woo her. And he tells the poet what he's been doing, and the poet's kind of taken back. He says, "Well, those are my words." And the poet says something to the effect, "Well, you weren't using them, and they're useful to me. Something like that. Is that right? A hymnal is full of words that are useful to our souls. When a poet that writes love sonnets, oh, why do they make our heart tremble? Because we've been in love. Why do spiritual hymns and spiritual songs speak to us? Because, you know, sometimes we just need a poet to help us. Poems, hymns come in all kinds of ways and for all kinds of needs. I'm just going to touch them here. But then there's the penitential psalm, a penitent, someone who is wanting to repent and turn his heart. He's sinned and he wants to come back to God. And so we have these hymns. It's like Psalm 51 in the Old Testament. And let me just read this one by Charles Wesley. Jesus, the first and last, on thee my soul is cast. Thou dost thy work begin by blotting out my sin. Partaker of thy grace, I long to see thy face. The first I prove below, the last I die to know. He's had grace in his heart. Oh, he's thankful for it, and he casts himself on this God of grace. But you know, he longs for that perfection that he'll have to die to know completely. There's another penitential psalm. There's one, this one's by Madame Guyon, translated by William Cowper. Mrs. Dodson used to love Madame Guyon and Mrs. Rogers. We talked about Mrs. Rogers today. By the way, I'm going to refer back to that. You can cut this out of the text when anybody puts this on the internet or something. But I talked about Sarah this morning being, when she came in here and with a little baby, I thought, how wonderful. But the reason I brought her up, she can be a soldier for God. I just want you, did you get any of that when I said it? Probably not. You can be a full-fledged soldier for Christ and have that little baby in your arms. Anyway, back to this. Mrs. Rogers used to like, and so did Mrs. Dodson, like Madame Guyon. And this is a poem. It's a psalm of repentance. My spirit and my faculties fail. O God, finish what thou hast begun. Destroy what is sinful and frail. And dwell in the soul thou hast won. Dear theme of my wonder and praise, I cry, who is worthy as thou? I could only be silent and gaze. That's all that's left to me now. O glory in which I am lost, too deep for the plummet of thought, an ocean of deity tossed, I'm swallowed, I sink into naught. Yet lost and absorbed as I seem, I chant to the praise of my King. And though overwhelmed by the theme, I'm happy whenever I sing. Psalms of repentance. So if you've sinned, there's a song for you in one of these hymnals. There's psalms of personal address and congregational praise. You know, there's nothing like standing in a congregation and singing together. Just binds you together. Oh, the camaraderie of singing together. We ought to, you know, well, it's a glory when in the Spirit we do that. Charles Wesley, and we sang this morning, Tom's just hitting on all cylinders today. Huh? They're pointing at each other back here. They're both of them are hitting on all cylinders. They're a team. But Charles Wesley wrote this hymn, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." He wrote that on the anniversary of his conversion, May 21st, 1739. And here's this spiritual poet. And when we sing this hymn, the words become ours. "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Your name." Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, 'tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoners free, His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood availed for me. When you sing a hymn like that, it's congregational, but it's also, there's personal address. I love hymns where instead of singing, Paul said it, we sing to one another and sing hymns and spiritual songs. We sing to one another. But I love the hymn when we sing directly to God. "My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim." Don't you just love the hymns that you can sing to Him? But we sing them to each other as well. You know, the hymns, there's great hymns that are full of doctrine. Sometimes I read our hymnal, and it's just absolutely rolling and good, solid doctrine. You ever think that, you guys? You ever think that? You know, Becky's teaching our kids hymns. Aren't you doing that, Becky? That's the subject. Good. Stay with it. The hymns are full of good doctrine. Just take the second coming. "Lo, He comes with clouds descending, once for our salvation slain. Thousand, thousand saints attending swell the triumph of His train. Alleluia, alleluia, God appears on earth to reign." That's the doctrine. That's just oozing with doctrine. When Jesus appears, it will not be to die. It'll be to reign. He's done that. He's coming to reign on this earth. When Jesus comes back, He's coming to reign on the earth. "Every eye shall behold Him, robed in dreadful majesty. Those who set at naught and sold Him, pierced and nailed Him to the tree, deeply wailing, shall the true Messiah see." So the hymns are perfectly suited for teaching doctrine. Have you read the story about the stories of Isabel Kuhn? Anybody read those stories? Good. Isabel Kuhn was a missionary in Southeast Asia to the Lisu Indians. J.O. Frazier were before them. Tell a story about J.O. Frazier in a minute. She talks about returning. She'd gone off to return, I think, to America, and she travels, you know, all the way around the world to visit, to come back to her missionary field. And as she comes around into those mountains, she guess what she hears? The Hallelujah Chorus. Wouldn't that be thrilling? J.O. Frazier, part of his message, method, when the list who started to be converted was to teach them hymns because they were full of doctrine. Amy Carmichael did the same thing. These hymns are full of doctrine. I tell you what, there's not a PhD in the world in theology that can match this book. Pardon me, the only PhD here is, I'm sorry, Roy Dean. You weren't smiling because there's not. I'm talking about theology. But mathematicians are better. Anyway, there's not. This is, you get this on your spirit. Get a hold of The Christian Book of Mystical Verse by A.W. Tozer. J.O. Frazier did not have instant success. Lay best reading his story right now, aren't you, honey? He didn't have instant success there. And for a long time, not a whole lot happened. But he had a few. And there was a fellow that was converted relatively early. But J.O. Frazier would often get off just with him. And they would visit and talk and sing hymns together. And they'd be encouraged. Leave God to order all thy ways, and hope in him, whatever betide. Thou shalt find him in the evil days, thine all-sufficient strength and guide. Now you go away from a meeting like that stronger. Boy, we're going to finish early, but that you won't mind. Did you know some birds don't need to hear a song? It's just genetic in them. Did you know that? You could take some birds and put them in a cage and never let them hear another bird of their kind, and they'll sing the same song. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, I lived in Cleburne, Texas, a little hick town, which is on the edge of a plain. The Great Plains. Man, I tell you what, I grew up where there wasn't a tree like this that we see here. And you could look and look and look. And we had meadowlarks. And you know meadowlarks? If you put them in a cage and keep them away from their kinfolk, they'll never sing. They have to learn it. They have to hear another meadowlark to sing. A bluebird, you put him in a cage and eventually he'll make his little twitter and D and dumb. And you'll ask him, where'd you learn that? He says, oh, it's in my heart. But a meadowlark, where'd you learn that song? Mama taught me. Sitting on her knee. Some of us are Charles Wesley's. Just pours out of him. I think Charles Wesley, now you shouldn't judge which guy's the best, and which John or Charles. I'm going with Charles. That man could sing. And he generally didn't have any doctrinal grudge on it against anybody, but he just sang what was in his heart. There was a period in his life, it was all about forgiveness and sin and repentance. Why? Because that's what he needed, and that's what he sang. He was a bluebird that would just sing. Others of us, we need Charles Wesley to teach us. And that's all right, because when we sing his hymns, his words become our words. And we could say to the poet, and if the poet gets on to us, why are you stealing my words? We'd say, well, you weren't using them. I've got them. Now, hymns can be, there's all kinds of hymns. I thought of this hymn, and it was written by a fellow named Arthur Cleveland Cox. He was an Episcopalian in New York State in the 1800s. And he wrote this hymn, "Oh, where are kings and empires now of old that went and came? But Lord, your church is praying yet 1,000 years the same. We mark her goodly battlements, her foundation strong. We hear within the her solemn voice her unending song. For not like the kingdoms of the world, your holy church, O God, though earthquake shocks are threatening her and tempests are abroad, unshaken as eternal hills, immovable she stands, a mountain that shall fill the earth, a house not made with hands." Now I'm telling you, this is a hymn of defiance. You look, we can sing this hymn, and if the devil seems to rage across the earth, and he does seem that, doesn't he? And you hear about how the Chinese government is oppressing the Christians there. And if the Muslim religion sweeps across the Middle East and runs every Christian into the Mediterranean, we can sing a hymn of defiance. There, those empires of old that went and came. We mark the Third Reich of Adolf Hitler. It's supposed to last 1,000 years. Where is it now? We mark the Philistines in Palestine in the days of David. Where are they now? We mark the empire of Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. Where are they now? There's no nation that lifts its head against Christianity that will last. And so when we sing with Arthur Cleveland Cox, "Oh, where are kings and empires now of old that went and came? But Lord, your church is praying yet 1,000 years the same." Several years ago, Leah Beth and I went to London as tourists. But a friend here said, "You need to go to the Westminster Chapel at a certain time of the day and every evening there in this great Church of England cathedral. They have a tiny little service." You remember what that was called? Evensong? Something like that, yeah. And there's about 15 boys choir members, you know, and three, you know, maybe a half a dozen tourists, and then an Episcopalian minister, and they read some scripture and they sing several songs, and that's it. And we all get up, and there's a couple prayers in there, and we all get up and leave. And I think to myself, they've been doing this for a long time in England. And I may not be an Episcopalian, but I hope they keep doing it. And it may seem like the church in England is shrinking and shrinking until it's almost nothing. I tell you, God's people are praying yet, as we just sang. So it's a song of defiance. And so that's all I have for you. I could only say, whether you're a bluebird that can write these things and sing it from your heart and pluck the strings of your heart, or you have to just steal a word from a poet somewhere, do it. Okay, let's pray. Father, we ask that you would cause us to sing. And when we get low, may we sing, Christ the Lord is risen today. And Father, when we get low, may we sing that we hope in you whatever happens. And when Satan rages, or the world rages, or our own flesh jerks us about, Father, may we look to your Son's second coming, when all enemies will be put under your feet. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.